Welcome to the Movement Church Podcast. Our vision is to be a movement of people finding their way back to God. For more information about Movement Church, including attending a worship experience, getting connected, or to give online, please visit movementcolumbus.com.
Hey, it's good to be here. Greetings from Aiken and Cassidy. Was there with them just about a week ago. Man, it's just a privilege to have such a great team on the ground. I never thought in a million years that I would get to do what I'd love to do. And it's just fun to be able to travel the world and invest in young leaders and develop them and see their lives just come into what God designed them to be. So it's really great to be with them. Others here from the Columbus area, it seems like Columbus is just a great place for us. So thanks for partnering with us. Man, we love you guys. Chelsea's going to be with me in just less than 2 weeks in Haiti. And we're looking at really launching off what's going to be the start of a new work there as well. So birth is in your genes here, it seems like, and that's exciting time is in. So we're going to dig in. Regifting your marriage is kind of the talk that we're going to give, and we want to look at the pages of Scripture. There's a Bible there if you want to look at it. We're going to open the Scriptures up in Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm just going to read it as though God were talking to you. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to read right through verses 1 through 9, if that's okay. This is just incredible stuff here. It says, once you were dead. I just want to encourage you. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. Okay, just go there. Thanks. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit, that is Satan. He is the spirit and work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. But God, isn't that great? Don't you love when just God steps in and says, but God? It's like, okay, that's great news. I'm dead. I'm a sinner. I'm a loser. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life. He breathed life into us when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by grace that you have been saved, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point us to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace. We're going to go there. We're going to talk a lot about grace this morning. Regifting grace in the context of your relationship, in your marriage. He gave us this incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us as shown in all that he's done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for it. It's a gift from God. This grace thing, you didn't deserve it, you didn't earn it, you're not good enough to do that. He just gave you a gift, totally free, undeserved. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that you have done, so none of us can boast about it, for you specifically are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things that he has planned for us long ago. Then you go back just a chapter earlier, chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. It's kind of the key verse that I want to focus in on as we talk about marriage and regifting grace within the context of your marriage or your future marriage if you're not there yet. How tremendous is the power available to us who believe in God? The same power demonstrated when Christ was raised from the dead. Ephesians 1, 19 and 20. So, where do we find strength to invest in our marriages and relationships? I would guess that the key ingredient is grace. It's found in this word grace. Grace is one of the key attributes of God. Without grace, where do we stand, right? Grace is simply unmerited favor. We don't deserve it, but it's given to us as a free gift. And if you've been given this incredible gift, what are you going to do with it? God has given you his unmerited grace. He's given you his unconditional love. There's nothing you can do that's going to make him love you more. There's nothing that you can do that's going to make him love you less. He loves you because he chose to. And he's giving his grace to you because he wants to. And so my challenge to you in this early of 2018 is, how are you going to re-gift grace in the context of your marriage? So one of my favorite magazines, Cosmopolitan, not really, but it's a survey that was done in Cosmopolitan, reveals that 67% of the population has re-gifted a present. Anybody ever done that? Anybody ever re-gifted a present? Okay, you got a present, and it's like, that sucks. What am I going to do with this thing? It's going in my re-gifting shelf, and I can't wait for somebody else so I can get rid of it because I don't have any use for this thing, okay? And the good news is that only 6% of you will ever get caught, okay, in this re-gifting process. So that's not a bad risk, right? And so let the odds be ever in your favor. Unless you are Sarah and Bob, who thought they were being smart. Remember their names, Sarah and Bob. Well, Frank and Kelly were the recipients of this re-gift. And I love their story. This is what they say. For our wedding, my husband and I received a punch bowl set. Who uses those things anyways? And so, I mean, you know, we opened it and we saw a card inside of it that said, "Congratulations, Sarah and Bob. My name is Frank, and my wife's name is Kelly." And it was all good, so we figured, oh boy, a re-gift. And we opened up the card, and in the card was a fresh $100 bill. Sometimes you should open up the gift that you don't think is all that valuable. Okay, so here we go. Let's go, right? This morning, we're going to unpack this idea of re-gifting grace in the context of your relationship, in the context of your marriage. I want you to really just kind of take a deep breath and just kind of that cleansing breath. And I want you to be real with yourself. And I want you to be real with, how is your marriage, really? So Gay is my wife. When we were church planting, visitors would come and she would say, "Hi, I'm Gay and I sleep with the pastor." And people... She didn't know what to do. Anyways, I don't know why I said that. Anyways, when I refer to my wife Gay, she isn't, but she's my wife. And so we've been married 30 years. And so I'm coming to you with the context of 30 years of marriage. 4 adult kids, 3 grandbabies. I love my wife dearly. And we're so much alike and so much not alike. Sometimes I really love and like her, and sometimes I'm not sure. And in the context of our marriage, I think we all experience those times, right? And you know, the question that I want to ask you is, how is your relationship really? How is your marriage? This morning, the goal is simple: to help you tap into the power of God, because God desires for your marriage to be successful. And he wants to restore that. And the way that that's going to happen is through this key ingredient that you need to infuse again, re-infuse it, called grace. Grace needs to be evident in your marriage or it won't work. So in every relationship, there are 3 stress points. Just 3. Okay, maybe more. But we're going to talk about 3. Unexpected differences, unmet needs, and unforgiven mistakes. And I want to unpack each one of those things. The power to fathom my mate's differences. Fathom, who uses that word anyways? I chose it intentionally because it's a word that we don't use a lot. It just simply means to understand the depth of something. And so I want us to fathom the depth of the relationship that God has given to you in this thing that is called marriage. Do you have a satisfying marriage? Do you understand the depth of differences within the context of your relationship? I mean, you are very different people. You are one person, she is the other person, or vice versa. And the number one complaint that I hear all the time, especially when I was pastoring, is, "I just don't get him. I just don't understand. She doesn't make sense. I can't figure him out. I don't know why he or she acts that way." Welcome to the club. It's called marriage. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 2:11, "No one can really know what anyone else is thinking or what he is really like except the person himself." And we're so different, right? Only the person, only I can really know me. Everybody else, it's kind of a mystery. I let you in. I open windows sometimes and I let you in. I let you see some parts of me, but generally speaking, I'm pretty closed. I don't like to totally reveal myself to other people. And before Gay and I got married, all we could see was how alike we were. And then we got married, we said, I do, and all we could see was how different we were. It was like a light bulb went on in that moment, and it was like, wow, I don't even know who I'm married to. I wake up next to this person, and it's like, who is she? And it's just real. It's just difference. Sometimes marriage is kind of, you know, a display of God's humor. It's almost like he says, I'm going to put opposites together and I'm just going to watch the sparks fly. I like fireworks. And we have to figure that out. And if you're like most couples, let me just give you some reality checks, right? Okay, one of you is an early riser. The other one is a night owl. I go to bed at 9 to 10. Gay, I don't know how she does it. Man. 1, 2 in the morning. Archer and I, man, we were up until 2 a.m. He killed me last night. I killed him. It's like 2 a.m. What was I thinking? I got into bed and I'm going, man, I should have shut up 2.5 hours ago. I don't do nights. She lives at night. One of you is daring and impulsive. The other is cautious and reserved. One of you says, I play by the rules. The other says, forget the rules. One of you loves to talk. The other is a bump on a log. One of you loves to spend money. The other one's a tightwad. Is this your marriage? One of you loves to cuddle, the other is a porcupine. I mean, these are the real... Okay, can we talk about sex? Okay, you know, one of you is a firecracker, the other is a dud. And you're going, you know, how can we revive even just our sex life? And one of you says, drop everything. The other one says, drop dead. And it's this thing called marriage, and it's like you're finding out how different we are in the context of, you know, I love this person, but who is she or who is he? Differences are not, listen to this, wrong. They're just differences. And we make them as though they are right and wrong, and when you choose to make every difference right or wrong, it can destroy your marriage. It will not make your marriage healthy. It will hurt your marriage. The first foundation is to understand that God wants to give you the power to fathom, to understand the depth of your mate's differences. You really, really are different by God's design from one another. First Peter, I hope you guys are hearing this. I'm gonna talk points, but I'm gonna just go back to scripture every time so that this isn't Dan talk. This is God talk. He's the designer of marriage. He ordained this thing, this institution called marriage. He says, 1 Peter 3:7, you husbands should try. I love this. Just give it a shot. Try to understand the wife you live with. I mean, God's kind of funny there. It takes great skill. That's scripture. Men and women are inherently different in thousands of ways, right? We're different biologically. Every cell in a man's body is different than every cell in a woman's body, separated genetically by X and Y chromosomes. We're just different. Women mature faster. They have a slower metabolism. They're just different. And we're different behaviorally, not just biologically. We think differently. Men assume that women think like men and vice versa. And we don't even think alike. What a man says tends to reflect what he thinks. What a woman says tends to reflect what she feels. And that's a very different playing field. We're different in our backgrounds, right? Not only is every woman different from every man, but every woman is different from every other woman. And so women, when you're talking together, you're making assumptions that you might not or should not make. Because we're just all unique and different and made in the image and likeness of God. So your pursuit should not be to try to be like that marriage or that woman or that man. Your pursuit should be to be like Jesus. You know, in the context of marriage, you get it, right? There's man, You put your name in there, and there's woman, and then the triangle, right, is God up top. And the problem is we focus on trying to build the marriage by focusing on the differences and improving the differences. But when we try to take care of it manually, it doesn't work. What we need to do is, men, we need to work on our relationship with God. Women, you need to work on your relationship with God. And did you not just get closer? See, without God, you're going to be separated. It takes three strands. A cord of three strands will not easily be broken. It's you and God and this covenant. God comes into this thing called marriage. And without God, I don't know how marriages make it today. Because we're such a selfish society. Everything is pushing against the sanctity of marriage. But I don't understand how. I don't understand my mate, and I don't know how to fix the problems. All right. Scripture's clear on that too. James says what? If any of you lack wisdom, ask Dr. Phil. Why do we go to people like that? Ask God, and he will give you answers, and he will help you wherever you are. Okay, number two, the power to fulfill my mate's needs, unmet needs. God designed marriage. He designed love. He designed sex. The purpose is to mutually satisfy each other. Now, our world would say, take care of yourself. It's all about you. You got to get your needs met. It's all about you. And when your needs no longer get to met, oh, it's not working anymore. D word, divorce. No. You're not allowed to use the D word. In this covenant between you and your mate and God. 1 Corinthians 7:3, the man should fulfill his duty as a husband and the woman should fulfill her duty as a wife, and each should satisfy each other's needs. It's not about you. And when you turn that perspective and say, my job, my role is to satisfy the needs of the one that God has given to me, the one that I love and said I do with, it changes the perspective and the quality of your marriage. Men, you need to understand that women want to fulfill their needs, you to fulfill their needs without having to tell you what it is. But women, understand, we're not that smart to figure it out. And there's always a tension in this thing called marriage. And so you just have to understand. I mean, men just don't get it sometimes. It's not that we don't want to. It's just that we're dumb sometimes. We're not always perceptive, and we're skewed by the world who's telling us it's all about us. It's about my needs. Meeting your mate's need is a skill that has to be learned. It's not automatic. It's something that we learn to do. I think 80% of the problems in marriages would be solved by this next verse, Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. This is what it says. Look out for each other's interests, not just your own. Simple stuff, right? But complex when you break it down. It's just hard stuff. The root problem in every marriage, beneath it all, is selfishness. It's not sex, it's not money, it's selfishness. I wanted to buy that house. I wanted to buy this car. We have this like fair game. You went out with the guys on Monday, so I get a night. And it's like marriage is fair, like life is fair. Life isn't fair. Have you realized this yet? And neither is marriage. Do you play this game? And this will make sense in this is an interesting area as I drive through. It's like there's some like we went to Chewy's. What's the name of that mall, that massive, ridiculous? Easton, like, that's crazy, okay? That's way too much shopping, and we went to this restaurant and everything else, and then I'm driving through nothing but farmland. And so you'll get this this thing here. It's just, like, crazy. It's the game in-house that we call Did You Lock the Door? Did you lock the door? Did you lock the door? So the woman has grown up in the city, and you lock the door. for security purposes and there's safety in that lock, right? And everything else. And the guy, you know, he grew up on a farm, and you know, it's like, you know, his closest neighbor was 5 miles away, and they don't even have locks on their door. It's an open door policy and everything. And so you guys go to bed, and just as the husband lays his head down on the pillow, the wife says, "Did you lock the door?" And in that moment, there's this incredible tension. Am I going to meet the legitimate need of my wife for security, or meet my need for comfort? I just crawled in. And there's this tension. We're not comfortable with this next verse. Look out for each other's interests, not just for your own. It goes countercultural to everything that is being said. Look out for number one. Take care of your own needs. And when your needs are no longer being met, bail. And that is how we started this talk, the message from the evil one. It's not about bailing. It's not a healthy picture. You say, well, where am I supposed to find energy and power to meet the needs of my mate? I'm worn out. I'm tired. I've been trying, and it's not working. And that's real sometimes, right? Our marriage is ebb and flow. Sometimes it's like amazing. Sometimes it goes for years. And then you have this like real slump, like serious slump. Philippians 2:3, again, God is at work within you. He will be the one who will give you the will and the power to achieve his purposes. Hey, whatever God desires, he's going to provide the power to get you through those kinds of things. Whatever you're experiencing in your marriage, man, you're not alone. You guys are looking at some people. Mark and I were having this discussion. It wasn't even about this message, but we were having this discussion last night. It was like, you know, people look, I got four kids. They're all amazing. My family's, they're amazing. What dad gets the privilege of hiring three of their children? Three of my kids actually work for me. And we just love each other. Our house, we do a pot roast and potatoes and carrots every Sunday after wherever they're going to church or if I'm in town or whatever. And we just love each other. And it's so fun. But people look at us as though we're the glamorous family and we've got all of our stuff together. No, we got the other S word in our lives too. We got a lot of crap that we have to deal with. Our marriage isn't half of what other people might think it is. We have red-faced conversations. That means we get angry with each other and fight. Decibels go up. I come at my kids. My kids aren't perfect. Every one of my kids, we've had major issues with every one of my kids. Okay, they're all grown up, right? But marriage is work. We're not the perfect family, and neither is yours. And there isn't one here at Movement Church. We all have to work through this stuff, okay? So, number three, the power to forgive my mate's mistakes. So, I don't know where you guys are, but I know I've made my share of mistakes. If you haven't learned the two laws of reality yet, let me help you include you in, okay? The two laws of reality are, number one, you're married to an imperfect person. Number two, you're not so hot yourself. That's the truth of every marriage. And we're going, and it's even more complicated when the truth of this statement is, it's not biblical, it's just true. We tend to hurt the ones that we love the most. I would never say some of the things I say to my wife to anyone else on the world. And I love her the most. Am I connecting? It's like sometimes I come at her like I would never come at you. It's like, and then I think about what I said or how I responded, and it's like, man, you're an idiot. Why did I do that? Because sometimes I'm not filled with the Spirit. I'm filled with me. And I'm selfish, and I want my way. When your mate makes a mistake, you've got two options. You can rub it in or you can rub it out. And it's your choice. It's better, this is God's wisdom again, it's better to dwell in a desert than with a quarrelsome and nagging mate. You can bury your marriage with a whole lot of little digs. Ephesians 4, let there be no more bitter resentment or anger, no more shouting or slander. Let there be no bad feelings of any kind among you. That applies to your marriage. Don't hold on to your hurts, to your past hurts. Some of you have experienced some major mistakes in your marriage. Some of you are going through a marriage right now where it's just heavy. Truth has been exposed and it hurts. Sin just flat out sucks. You've been violated. What now? What do you do as a Christian couple? We're going to see a video in a little while about that, but God is not done with you. We're two imperfect people coming together in this thing called marriage. And God wants to restore and to reunite that marriage. How do you deal with those kind of hurts? Again, scripture, be gentle and ready to forgive. Never hold grudges. Remember, the Lord forgave you, and so you must forgive others. Wow, but he hurt me so bad. She hurt me so bad. Yeah. We're human. We're imperfect people. Maybe the problem that you're having is not being able to forgive because you kind of like the pain because you don't know what it means to forgive someone else. You've been hurt and you've been dealing with hurt and you've never given forgiveness to something that happened a long time ago, and then when somebody else hurts you, it just piles up and it just weighs you down. There are issues that we need to face. All of our marriages, they probably reside in four places. For some of you, your marriage is fantastic. I'm talking to some of you right now. You're going, it's great, and we intend to keep it that way. You're rare, if you're honest. You're rare. Our marriage is good, number two, right? Our marriage is good. It's pretty stable, but there's just no spark in it anymore. I mean, I love my wife. I love my husband. It's good. We go to church. We got good kids. I mean, there's no spark. We're kind of like in a rut. Our marriage is hurting. There's some issues that need to be resolved right now. And then some of you, if you're honest, you're going, we're barely hanging on. Our marriage is, I see it's over. If we don't experience a miracle from God right now, this is called grace. This morning, God brought you here this morning to give you a fresh hope. Grace. I want you to know, Movement Church is committed to building strong marriages and families. Pastor Mark, alias Matchmaker Mark, is committed to helping your marriage succeed. There was a study done in Marriage and Divorce magazine. They did a national survey, one done by Harvard University, so it's legit. They discovered that in America, the divorce rate is one out of three marriages. One out of three marriages will fail, will end in divorce. But I love this. But when a couple is married in a church ceremony, it drops to one out of 50. And when a couple is married in a church ceremony, attend church regularly, they pray together, and they read the Bible together, the divorce rate drops to one in 1,105. That's dramatic. That's God being infused into this institution that he created called marriage. Connect with God's community, with God's family. This morning, I want to open this opportunity with open arms from a church that cares deeply about marriage and movement. But there's one requirement that you need in order to receive this thing called grace. And it's that you have to recognize that to enter into this world, this movement, it's going to require that you not be perfect. Because you're not. Your marriage isn't. This church is made up of a bunch of knuckleheads who are imperfect, but who are moving in pursuit of this amazing relationship with a God who is full of grace and truth, meaning he dumps his grace upon you when you fail, and he can never be emptied of that grace. Because he's God, grace upon grace upon grace. And so he keeps pouring out his grace on your marriage because he desires more than you to see your marriage successful. Why did you come here this morning? It's by grace. God brought you here this morning to be encouraged in your marriage. Your marriage is not over. It's just beginning. And so I want to just finish talking about marriage and re-gifting grace by helping you go back to what got you into your marriage in the first place. And then we're going to pray. And then there's a great video that you need to hear from one of your own about God's grace and his goodness in restoring a marriage. How can you fall in love all over again? By re-gifting grace in the context of your marriage. So this year, we just finished Valentine's Day, right? This is your re-gift. It's better than any Valentine's Day that you received. It's the gift of intimacy. Five things. I'm not elaborating. Five things. Pay attention. You did that to woo her, to woo him. Pay attention. Intellectual intimacy. Give affirmation. Emotional intimacy. Show affection. Physical intimacy. Pursue adventure. Recreational intimacy. And live in one accord. Spiritual oneness. Spiritual intimacy. If you do those five things and re-gift those five things, God will restore your marriage. You have to covenant, you have to promise, you have to make that commitment to re-gift grace in the context of your marriage. Can I pray with you? God, this is crazy, this thing called marriage. We need you. We mess up, we're imperfect. We love our spouse, and yet sometimes we treat our spouses not well, and some of our marriages are hurting, and some are sitting here going, man, I think the problem is I don't have God in my marriage. I don't even have God in my, I don't even know God relationally. I know who God is, I hear about God, but I don't know that God, I don't know that I entered into a covenant with God. I just entered a covenant with my mate, with my spouse. I want to invite you to invite Jesus to be the center of your marriage, to be the center of your life. If you want your marriage to be restored, you have to enter God into it. It's the only way that you can have a successful marriage. And it's the grace of God, right? He's going to give that to you right now. And God brought you here for that reason. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, then right now in the quietness of your own heart, from your heart to God, no raising a hand, no kneeling, no coming forward in a church service, just from your heart to God's heart, I want you to say, God, give me your grace. I need your grace. I need your forgiveness. Forgive me for being the person that I've been. I was born in sin. I am dead now because of my sin, and I want to receive new life. I'm accepting your free gift of grace and salvation. Come into my life. And if that's the decision that you made in your heart right now, from your heart to God's heart, I want you to tell somebody from the church, to get on that webpage, to let somebody know that you made that decision. Let your spouse know. And re-gift the purpose of grace in your marriage. God, give marriages at Movement Church a strong level of success. Restore what has been broken in Jesus' name. Amen.